And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or if the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, we dive into the moment where Moses and Aaron meet Pharaoh. Moses declared to Pharaoh that the Lord God had commanded, "Let my people go so that they can hold a festival for me in the wilderness." Remember, Pharaoh was filled with pride and God hardened his heart. Consequently, his response to Moses was, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He then makes his own damning declaration by saying, "I don't know the Lord." That is going to be a sad testimony for many. Next, our often appreciated eternal friend, Pastor Ray, is not gone, but is in the company of Jesus, and we will never forget him here on earth because his kingdom efforts continue to resonate with us personally. Pastor Ray wrote about how our gracious God turns bitterness into blessing. God's grace is all around us, but we often fail to notice it. The power of living grace is glorious. Without witnessing his grace in action, we miss his love and his kindness. And finally, here's one of my favorite teachings about prayer in the manner that Jesus instructed. Anything that Jesus teaches serves, of course, as an excellent strategy for us to follow. When the disciples asked him how they should pray, Jesus provided a very specific answer, which might differ from what one might expect. While there is a certain sense of reverence because we are approaching the Almighty God, there is another characteristic that must be considered. We will examine.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelation, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Just so much more. I love doing this show. So much. Okay, remember this. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's two cans and a string. Okay, it's a long string, but that's not the point. We're asking you, what do you think? Where are you at? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the weekend.
Aww.
That's so nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Friday. Happy heading into the weekend.
Happy heading into the weekend. Nice. I like that. That's good. Yeah. Don't you love this? Sometimes it's just so much fun. We get great calls like that last call. I just love it. Okay. Let me get to it. So what are these contacts for? What is the point of calling us or texting us or sending an email? Well, it has multiple uses. Number one, you can have a praise report. You can have something you want to share. did the Lord do something in your life and you're thinking, I got to share that. I just need to share it. This is a great place to do it. Awesome. And it'll honor God. It'll bless you and it'll bless other people. If you got a prayer request, awesome. Let's bring it. Bring it. Let's do it. Let's petition. Let's seek together. The Bible teaches very clearly that in the body of Christ that we laugh together, rejoice together, and we weep together. That's what being a family is about. And Jesus said this. So he gives us the summation on the love, right, and on the commandments, right, putting them together. The summation of it all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, which, by the way, is specifically written in Leviticus. Here is the new commandment Jesus gave in John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So technically, there are three commandments. Get it? Oh, that's good, Dave, because it's like the way Jesus loved us, which is even more profound than the way we love ourselves. Wow. Okay, so the bottom line is that we want to encourage one another, bless one another, strengthen one another. We'll probably do a couple of jokes because I got some one-liners that are pretty funny. We'll do a little bit of history, and then we always do Bible trivia. We just do it differently on a pretty regular basis. Obviously, we change it up somewhat. Here is your Bible trivia question for right now. This is coming out of Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. Can I say that again? Galatians chapter 2, verse 3 is where your answer is. Here's what it says. Paul said that not even Titus, a Greek, was compelled to worship in the temple, be circumcised, or use Grecian formula. That Paul said that not even Titus, as a Greek, was compelled to worship in the temple, be circumcised, or use Grecian formula. Your answer is in Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, if you want to know. And if you think you know what it is ahead of time, or after you look it up, because we encourage you to do that, you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I will say that people are responding, doing an excellent job. I will say Aunt Deb has come up with the best tongue-in-cheek answer thus far. I'm just going to leave that right there. In the meantime, while you're trying to figure out that trivia answer, which again I told you is in Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, and the question, Paul said not even Titus, a Greek, was compelled to worship in the temple or be circumcised or use Grecian formula. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA, because we love DNA, and I want you to always do D, no matter what, because that is the important one. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Every day you breathe, you spend time with God. So if you're not breathing, I give you a pass. Okay, how's that? Spend time with the Lord, any kind. And so look, is that in prayer? Sure, yeah. Is that in the Word? Absolutely. When you're in the Word, He speaks to you. When you're in prayer, you speak to Him. He speaks to you, you speak to Him. That constitutes communication. Communication of listening and sharing and listening and talking. Man, that's called a relationship. As long as you're not doing it legalese style and it's sincere. When you first met your wife or when you were getting close to your best friends or your parents, your siblings, whatever, you talk, they talk. You talk, they talk. That's how you get to know one another. Spend time with the Lord every day. D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. Never. When? Never. Never. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. The world, we just talked about being a friend of the world, they are trying to make Christians these, you know, they're calling Christians Hitler. It's just like so unbelievable, these people. Never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. They're always going to cut you down. They're always going to mock you because they cut Jesus down and mocked Him. Never be ashamed of what He had to say, or He'll be ashamed of you. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
Always be ready to serve. Always be on guard. Always be ready, right? It's kind of like you're sitting at a light, right? And the light turns red. You're at the light, right? What are you doing when the light turns green? You're ready to go. That's what you want to be in, ready to serve. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And A, always be ready to serve. Once more on the triv, and then we will move into the teaching, the trivia question, which is found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul said that not even Titus, who was a Greek, was compelled to be one, or compelled to, one, worship in the temple, two, be circumcised, or three, use Grecian formula. What is the answer? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. To the text we go. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. Later, Moses and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness." Verse 2, but Pharaoh responded, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him by letting Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And what's more, I will not let Israel go." 2 points you can't miss. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Every person is going to answer this question. Even if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you'll still answer it. Who is the Lord that you should obey him? And this is why people in the world, and we talked about this in the last segment, do not respond or yield. First of all, they don't want to have any sense of accountability. That would be the first thing. The main reason people don't want to believe that there is a Lord God Almighty is they don't want to be accountable. They don't have to give an account for their actions.
If it feels good, do it.
Until you say to them, is that true for a mass murderer?
Well, no, that's different.
Well, then how do you define the line?
Oh, well, it just depends on how you feel. And that's like 2 + 2 = 4, but only if both the twos really feel like it.
You see, this is how ridiculous this stuff is. And so we have to come back to this reality. Who is the Lord? He is the King of the universe that will call to account every piece of his creation to answer to him. And everybody is accountable. Christians are also accountable. God has given you a variety of gifts and blessings and opportunities for you to use to help strengthen and encourage other people. You have an accountability for that. Does that mean you won't go to heaven if you fail in some of that accountability? No, you know better than that. But you still have an accountability, and you're trying to honor your Lord and your King. But the last thing Pharaoh says is the one that's the big condemnation. "I don't know the Lord," he said. It's to his own demise that he did not know the Lord. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7:21? After many say, "Well, didn't I do this, and didn't I do this, and didn't I do this in your name?" And Jesus says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." People do things in the name of the Lord a lot, but that does not mean they know the Lord. And this is where people have to move in their faith from a religion to a genuine connection with the King of the universe. We talked about this just on Wednesday, that Christianity is a living relationship with the living God made possible by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That is what is required. And people who are in an active relationship with God are in pursuit or seeking the Lord. They don't do things so that I do it in your name so I can look good, or I do it in your name because I can get away with it. I mean, even Judas was mad that the money that was used for Jesus' burial with the alabaster box was mad that that money wasn't given to the poor. He said that in the name of the poor. But the scripture says that he didn't really do that for the poor. He was lying. That's because he kept the money. He kept the money bag and wanted more to take for himself. That's true of one of Jesus' disciples. How much more distant sinful people in places of power and government and leadership. Wow. People do things in the name of the Lord, don't even know who the Lord is. All right?
Okay.
Tree of question. Here we go. Tree of question. Boy, Dave, Friday's supposed to be fun day. Well, it is fun. It's fun like Monday. Anyway, according to Galatians 2:3, Paul said not even Titus a Greek was compelled to, one, worship in the temple, two, be circumcised, or three, use Grecian formula. And the answer is two, to be circumcised. That is the answer. I don't think anybody was really using Grecian formula back then. I'm just going to go out on a limb there. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What the issue is this guy hears the gospel from Philip, and in that presentation of the gospel is baptism. That is not negotiable in the sense that there's no way you can remove that. And he responds by saying, I want to be part of this family. I want to be connected to this. I hear the good news. I want the grace and the mercy. I want to do whatever it takes to show my response, not just to you, Philip, but to the entire world. I'm a Christian. And that's what baptism does. And while I think it's dangerous to say, if you're not, you can never get in, because I don't believe that's correct, I also think it's dangerous to say, nobody needs to do it. That's incorrect, too. Your baptism is an open proclamation of an inward work. Don't you ever forget, the Lord requires that. If you've never been baptized, get baptized. We've got to do it right this side. Arrange to get baptized. That's it. If you've never done it, you should do it because it's a declaration of your faith. That's the response to the gospel. You're saying by identifying going down and up in baptism, the end of you, the beginning of him in you. Okay. That just seems like it doesn't even seem like that's complex. I think everybody should just go, yeah, okay, got it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where this show's already half over. I don't know. That's all I'm going to say. See what I'm going? I don't know.
Let's just not tell anybody and go for like 5 more hours.
Yeah, it's just like you can just do this for hours. This is too much fun. All right, here's your next trivia question. Now, this is a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? This is a little more studious. How's that? That's a good way to say that, okay? So listen to the question. Your answer is going to be in Galatians. All these are in Galatians, by the way. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. Your answer is going to be in Galatians 3:17, and you can look it up. Here it is. How much time passed between the covenant with Abraham and the law of Moses? Is it 230 years, 430 years, or 630 years? How much time passed between the covenant with Abraham and the law of Moses? Is it 230 years, 430 years, or 630 years? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 17, very specific reference, how much time passed between the covenant with Abraham and the law of Moses? Is it 230 years, 430 years, or 630 years? I'm not going to say what Al said, but he did say give or take a couple hundred years. That's the way to answer a trivia question. You can't get that wrong. In the meantime, while you're trying to figure that out, I do have a couple of jokes. Yes, I do. They're one-liners.
All right.
Yeah, they're one-liners. You ready? Okay. The first two are, the first one is okay, but you got to give it a chance, right? Here we go. What is taken before you get it? What is taken before you get it? You ready? What is taken before you get it? Your picture. See? Okay. All right. Along the same lines, what can you hold without touching it? What can you hold without touching it? Your breath. That's a good one. All right, watch this. What never moves, has no feet, but wears shoes? What never moves, has no feet, but wears shoes? A sidewalk.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way.
That's a great play right there. Did you pick that
it's
up?
It's one of my favorite Office lines.
That is such a good play. All right, back to the trivia question, then to the teaching. I got so much to do here. Okay, now I'm assuming you went to the reference. See how I said that to people? Isn't that a nice way to tell people? Go to the reference. Galatians 3:17. How much time passed between the covenant with Abraham and the law of Moses? Is it 230 years, 430 years, or 630 years? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? All right. This is, I think, a really, really good teaching, so bear with me, because I got to read much of the text to get there. It's out of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 5 through 8. This has to do with Sheba. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your words and about your wisdom is true. But I didn't believe the reports until I came and saw it with my own eyes. Indeed, I was not even told half of your great wisdom. You far exceed the report I heard. How happy are your men? How happy are these servants of yours who always stand in your presence hearing your wisdom? May the Lord your God be praised. He delighted in you and put you on his throne as king for the Lord your God. Because your God loved Israel enough to establish them forever, he has set you over them as king to carry out justice and righteousness." Wow. Let's start with some of the core elements here. Sheba tells Solomon, "Your reputation was lagging behind the truth. I, in my heart, believe this will be accurate for Jesus." I think John made it clear that there's not enough books that can be written that would really describe everything Jesus did. I think his reputation lags, much like Solomon's reputation lagged. There's more that we're going to learn and grow in as we see him face to face. Happy are the people who serve. She's talking about Solomon's servant. I'm talking about serving Jesus. See those comparisons? The reputation was lagging about the truth. True about Jesus, too. Happy are the people who served, who are in that service to you. True. When you're in service with the Lord, you and I both know. When we're in sync, when it's happening, when the Lord's communicating with us, when we're connected, it's awesome. Let's just be honest. It's awesome, right? What does she say? May God be praised. May God be praised. May the Father receive honor through all of the work that the Son has done. May God be glorified in every process, in every element. As Jesus has made known to us the Father, may the Father be praised through Jesus Christ continually. Oh, isn't that interesting how it correlates to Solomon? Kind of fascinating. But then she says this, and this is really cool. She says, why did God give you this wisdom? How happy your men are, how happy your servants are yours. They always stand in your presence, hearing your wisdom. May the Lord your God be praised. He delighted in you and put you on his throne as king for the Lord your God, because the Lord God loved Israel enough to establish them forever. He has set you over them as king to carry out justice and righteousness. Why did the Father give us Jesus? That's the question. I'm sorry. Said that wrong. But why did the Father give us Jesus? Because he loves us. That's the key. He loves us. He loves you. He loved you. He will forever love you. You see, the reputation for Jesus is lagging behind. And people who truly serve Jesus were happy because you want to know what? We are connected to our existence and why we're alive. May God be praised. Why did he give us Jesus? Because he loves us. Why does he answer your prayer? Why does he comfort you? Why does he even discipline you? Because he loves you. Because he's committed to you. But Dave, I want everything to go the way that I want it to go. See, because God loves you, he doesn't let you get away with that. See, I want everything to be the way I think it should be. Why, are you smarter than God? Okay, then. I was just dealing with something today, and I'm like, I just told the Lord. I said, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what. I really just want to follow what you want. Tell me what. I don't even know what to do. Then the Lord gave me kind of a affirmation as to the direction. It's like, I need that. I need him. Why does he do that? Because he loves me. Not because I'm good. Let's put a kibosh on that. It's because he loves me. Get it? All right. Trivia question. Yeah, see. Jacob thought I was going to forget.
Yep, you remembered.
Yep. How much time passed between the covenant with Abraham and the law of Moses? Was it 230 years, 430 years, or 630 years? Your answer, by the way, was in Galatians 3:17, and this is what it says. And then I saw that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of non-effect, referring to Abraham. So your answer is B, 430 years. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with them. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead but asleep. But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kaum? Talitha kaum? And that means, little girl, I say unto you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl. Even though she was physically raised from the dead, he wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples with him. What did he do? He cleared the air. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our toughest trivia question of the day. Get ready. If the Galatians were to become circumcised, then, number one, they would have no inheritance among the saints. Number two, they would want to stock up on aspirin. Or number three, they would be obligated to keep the whole law. Which of those three is the correct answer? Your reference point is Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 through 31. Kind of a long reference point. But if the Galatians were to become circumcised, then they would have no inheritance among the saints, one. Want to stock up on aspirin, two, or be obligated to keep the whole law, number three. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website. Ready? Watch this. Blah, 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 blah. If you can give, that would be great because we need funds. Thanks. Is that a great way to say that? Instead of going, dig deep down into your pocket and pull out the green, just make machine work. Okay, just you know what? If the Lord puts it on your heart, give. If he doesn't, don't worry about it. Check it out on the website. Here's the scripture, though. Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the needy and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
There it is, just for you.
My day is complete. It's Friday, and that was my favorite one.
Yeah, now you can go into the weekend feeling like everything has thus now been accomplished, and there's nothing lacking. Your trivia question that we're getting into the teaching, we're doing one from Pastor Ray, by the way. If the Galatians were to become circumcised, then A, they would have no inheritance among the saints. B, they would want to stock up on aspirin. Or C, be obligated to keep the whole law. A, no inheritance among the saints. B, lots of aspirin. C, keep the whole law. Your reference is in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 through 1. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email david@hemustincrease.org. We'll do history in the next segment, but in this segment we're going to do a teaching from Pastor Ray, my bud, who's I know having more fun. I'm having a lot of fun, but he's having more fun than I am. Yes, I'm jealous a little. I don't want to talk about it. Okay, this is called Bitterness to Blessing. Bitterness to Blessing. I'm going to read Pastor Ray's devotional. Okay? All right. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Ruth chapter 1, verse 20. When life leaves us angry, tired, and bitter, it's hard to see the possibility of blessing. Ruth was a young widow living with her heartbroken and bitter mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi's husband and two sons had died, leaving her alone in a strange land with two grieving daughter-in-laws. Determined to return home to Bethlehem, Naomi was surprised by Ruth's declaration of loyalty. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Ruth 1, 16 and 17. Naomi's response was less than enthusiastic. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Naomi might as well have shrugged and said, whatever. In the depths of despair, it's hard to appreciate even small gestures of kindness. Naomi was drowning in sorrow and fearful about the future. Eventually, the love God poured into their lives began to heal Naomi's bitterness. First, she realizes that in Ruth, she is blessed with a loving daughter. Then Boaz, the relative of Naomi, enters the scene. He's a wealthy landowner and a godly man who takes pity on them, then falls in love with Ruth while watching her glean grain from the fields. He is struck by her beauty and virtue and arranges to fulfill his duty by marrying her. This is one of the most beautiful love stories ever written. And Ray writes, and I encourage you to read it. I've barely done justice, but I want to leave you with this thought. Tragic events had unraveled Naomi's life. Struck down by grief and fear, she was beaten down, resigned to misery, and bitter. I just want to repeat that. She was struck down by grief and fear. She was beaten down and resigned to misery and bitter. In Bethlehem, she told old friends, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. But God had given her a faithful daughter and a savior, Boaz, who provided for the rest of her life. The day Ruth bore a son and laid him in Naomi's arms, the town rejoiced, crying, blessed be the Lord. May he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. God turned Naomi's bitterness into a blessing. When she was too tired and hurt to have faith, the Lord took care of her and provided her with people who loved her and had faith for her. He redeemed her from the seemingly impossible circumstances. Isn't that how he is with us? If only we could look up and see above our circumstances, we can know God's hand is upon our lives. Our Redeemer lives and saves us and longs to turn all our bitterness into blessings. Now that's what Pastor Ray wrote. And it is a brilliant piece. I've never preached a message or said anything that was that is just lights out fantastic. And if you are like me and you've gone through this life, there have been many ups and downs pre-Christ and after Christ. And in those times, there are moments where you look up and you are just like, what are you doing? And why are you doing it? But somehow, past our ability to understand. The Lord weaves into our lives this redemption portion that changes the bitterness and, let's say, the consistency of the bitterness so that the pain isn't quite the same as it was earlier. And then as the Lord continues to minister and move in our lives, we become a little more distant from the bitterness. And then we become even more distant from the bitterness. And soon we're looking backwards going, that was a tough time, but that was then and this is now. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, active today. And you might be on the backside of bitterness, and so you can say, I totally relate to that. You might be on the front side of bitterness thinking, I can't even touch it. I'm so hurt. And you might be right in the middle, knowing that God is faithful, but knowing you're still in pain. Think about this. This story is in Holy Writ, put there forever. The words of the Lord will endure past the foundation of the earth. The earth will not outlast this writ. And it is there for you and me. If you are in the beginning of this bitterness journey, my response to you is know the story and know it well. Because deliverance comes. If you are in the middle of your bitterness journey, I encourage you to know this story and know it well. Because your redemption in fullness is coming. If you are past your bitterness journey and you are just doing so much better, I encourage you to know this story and know it well. Because there's no guarantee that other hiccups will not appear in your life. And this story declares the faithfulness of God's redemptive power to bring us through. Instead of sitting there wallowing in the mire, we need to push past what our heart and mind see in the natural and see with Jesus the redemption and his love to get us through. If he didn't care, he would never comfort you. Not in our flesh when we go, if you cared, you'd never let it happen. That's wrong. We don't know what the ultimate purposes of God are. We have no right to even say that. But if he didn't care, he wouldn't put his arms around you and say he loves you. That is important. Do you get that? Bitterness into blessing. The trivia question, if Galatians were to be circumcised, then A, they'd have no inheritance among the saints. B, they would want to stock up on aspirin. Or C, they would be obligated to keep the whole law. And your answer is C, they'd be obligated to keep the whole law. That would be your answer. And we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And you're thinking, that's a great verse, Dave. What does that got to do with Thanksgiving? Right? Because that doesn't have any application except for God is pictured here as always was, always is, and always will be. And a person who is walking in the dynamic of continually giving thanks is looking at their past with thanksgiving, is looking at their present with thanksgiving, and is looking at their future with thanksgiving, because God has operated in the past, the present, and the future, and you have a past, a present, and a future. And when you look at your past and you operate with thanksgiving, and you look at your present and you operate with thanksgiving, and you look at your future and you operate with thanksgiving, you're operating in those principles with God. And if you look at your past with thanksgiving, guess what you won't have? You won't have bitterness. And if you look at your present with thanksgiving, guess what you're going to have? A trusting and a confidence. And if you look to your future with thanksgiving, guess what you're going to have? A hope for a better tomorrow. All these principles operate if you will continually walk in thanksgiving on every aspect and element of your life. You won't be bitter. You'll be trusting God and walking in confidence. You'll be looking for a better tomorrow. You'll be operating in the principle of faith. You'll be honoring God, and you'll be setting yourself free in your partnership with God. How can that be bad? How can that be bad? I mean, it blow my mind. Crying out loud. We should be thanking God for, oh, but this terrible thing happened. But look how God brought you through it. Amen. This terrible thing is happening, but look how God is bringing you through it. Hey, when they start shooting Christians, look how God took you out and brought you to Him. I mean, it's like it's all together. You can't escape this. If you look at your life with a continual feast of thanksgiving, you'll have a continual feast.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I want to verify with my very good friend Jacob that I am unaware as to what the fills are going to be. For example, that fill right there that was all about bitterness after I just finished an entire teaching on bitterness. Right? I mean, you can't miss that, right? Is that just, you can't, how do you miss that? Okay. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, that's just like, I mean, there's 300.
These are randomized too.
And they, yeah, right, they're random. People don't even, it's just like, oh, I don't know how that happens. Let's just say the grace of God. Here's your last trivia question. After the trivia question, we will do history, and then we'll do our final teaching. Here's your last trivia question. Paul said that we should not be what? Or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Paul said we should not do what while doing good? In other words, while we're doing good, what should we not do? Number one, distort the truth. Number two, avoid ice cream. Or number three, grow weary. What should we not do while we're doing good? Distort the truth, avoid ice cream, or grow weary. Okay? Your reference, of course, is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So what should we not do while we're doing good? We should not, number one, distort the truth. Number two, avoid ice cream. Or number three, grow weary. Which of those? 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, as well as you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we'll do history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, very fascinating day. Today is Zero Discrimination Day, but it only applies to people who are not Christians. Christians are allowed to be discriminated against, apparently. Okay. Yeah, see, that's a joke. See, but it's supposed to be Zero Discrimination Day. Sure. Okay. It's World Compliment Day. I got no problem. Jacob, I think you do a phenomenal job on the board and with the audience. There you go.
And I think you do a phenomenal job running the show.
Thank you. Okay. Well, we can each send each other $10.
What day was it?
What was that?
It's what day was it?
World Compliment Day.
That makes sense now. Okay. I was sending a caller through.
You came up on the backside of that. I see. I got it. Okay. All right. So listen. Now listen. What am I going to say real quickly? Make sure you check the reference. That's all I'm going to say. Today is, and this is huge for me, National Peanut Butter Lovers Day. Huge. Huge. I mean, I just like peanut. I don't know what it is. What is it?
Yeah, you said your favorite ice cream was it the peanut butter chocolate?
Peanut butter chocolate, especially from Baskin Robbins. And one of my snacks is Pretzels peanut butter.
Those are good, too.
I love those. I just love those. Okay. 1873, on this day, production for the first typewriter began. Wasn't completed. It began. 1912, on this day, the first parachute jump is made from a moving airplane, which then tells me that somebody tried to make a jump from a non-moving airplane, which I'm just not sure how I feel about that. And then in 1936, on this day, the Hoover Dam was completed. There you go. All right. We do have somebody, it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. We do have somebody who is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm going into the weekend feeling pretty good and got a lot of stuff done, a lot of stuff on the projects and everything, so I'm looking for a chillaxing and relaxing, no drama weekend.
All right.
All right. Let me set it up for you. So your reference point is going to be Galatians 6:9. Paul said we should not do what while we're doing good. We should not distort the truth. We should not avoid ice cream, or we should not grow weary.
Grow weary.
That is correct, Amanda. We should not grow weary doing good, because in due time we will reap. And that's the thing people have to be aware of. And it's ironic because I'm going right into a teaching about that. Got to keep going. That's the key. Right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Awesome job. Thank you, Deborah. Phenomenal.
All right. Thank you. And I hope you'll have a good weekend.
All right. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
All right. You gotta be, keep going. You gotta keep doing good. Even when you just keep doing good. Now, how funny is this? Because I did not know this, but I won't take as much. That Phil and the connection between bitterness and the bitterness thing, that's just lights out crazy. But this is right on the heels of this exact same question. Pray like Jesus said to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 9. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John also taught his disciples. Verse 2, he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." I want to make sure you understand, this is a model that he has given them. So the model that he gives, identify, honor, submit, provision, forgiveness received and given, and help with spiritual warfare. That's part of this model. Identify, say our Father, submission, your kingdom, provide, give us this day, forgiveness, we forgive others, forgive us too, and then help with spiritual warfare and lead us not into temptation. Verse 5, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. So this is the same text, nothing stopped. So suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And from inside he answers, said, "Do not bother me. My door has already been shut. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Verse 8, I tell you that even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, this is Jesus, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. All those words, ask, seek, and knock, are perfect present tense. Means you keep doing it. What do? We push. Pray until something happens. P-U-S-H. Push. So Jesus, in teaching his own disciples how to pray, he's teaching them how to pray, is telling them, don't stop. Don't quit doing it. And Jesus likens this to prayer. And I love these stories because when Jesus uses this illustration, he's talking about a guy is the guy's like, hey, I'm in bed. My kids are in bed. Leave me alone. That's what's going on. And Jesus is like, no, the guy's not going to get up, you know, because he's a friend. He's like, get away. I'm resting. He's gonna get up because the guy doesn't stop. Right? Now, I do this occasionally. Don't let it irritate you. It's to help. Ready? Somebody's at your door at 2 in the morning. Go away. I'm sleeping. Please leave me alone. I'm sleeping. I don't really want to be disturbed. Don't you know me and my kids are sleeping? Now you're waking up my wife and the dog. You know what's going to happen? The guy's going to get up. Why? Because the person keeps knocking. That's the lesson. Just keep knocking. Why? Because after a while, I can't take it. Can't take it. Ah, can't take it. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. You can tell me all the stuff you want to about all this. And I'm not talking about posture. I'm not talking about any. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. Keep praying. Why? Because that's how you get answers. Why do we keep praying? Because that's how you get answers. Because that's what Jesus taught. Because that's how we should do it. Keep pushing forward. You keep doing good without growing weary, and you keep praying without giving up. You see how those nicely fit together? Wow, it's like a glove that fits. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 71.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot for all the blessing that you give me. Thanks a lot for all the ways that you have can.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.